Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Chai Chat, Creating New Worlds at Work. Purpose of our show is to awaken everyone and help them to transform their work world into something that goes from business as usual to business as remarkable. How about that? And my name is Victoria Vitier. I'm an Enlightened Life Coach and Consultant, and my co-host is Mary Rockenstein. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Good, Victoria. Good morning, everyone.
Good, good. Mary does what?
I am a John Maxwell certified speaker trainer coach, and my company is Leadership Edge Solutions.
Cool. Yeah, and you've got a new website coming out there real soon, so we'll be putting that link up, but Mary's link is up there right now, and so is mine. We hope that, you know, when you get something out of these shows, and hopefully you will, because we want to shake you up and wake you up, that you'll go to our websites and see what we're doing. The last couple shows we did in July, I don't know about where you are, but it's hotter than heck here, so we're still in the hot shows. So these shows are hot, guys. In July, we did a couple of good shows on time management and how that is impossible to do. And so there's the little teaser for you. Go listen to the shows and see what we're talking about. And in time management, it's very important to have healthy boundaries, and if you don't, you can't manage yourself in time very well. So guess what? There's the segue for the August shows. This is our first of two August shows, and our title is Boundaries or Bust, Why Boundaries Are a Must. We're going to talk about boundaries and healthy boundaries and what is and what isn't. Right, Mary?
Yeah, and actually, as you mentioned, we've got two shows. In this show, we're going to kind of lay the foundation about boundaries, and then our next show, we'll talk about the importance of self-parenting and boundaries. And I think, you know, if you're listening, and I think what you're going to hear is some maybe reflection back to some topics that we had on ego states, because I think there's a pretty strong correlation and connection there. Wouldn't you say, Victoria?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's very important foundational material. And you'll see that you can apply that in all kinds of ways with all kinds of topics that we're doing as the months go by here.
Yep.
So.
So let's dive into today's topic. Boundaries, it's a pretty relevant term. There are many books out on boundaries. You hear people talking about them. So it's kind of a hot topic. And boundaries really define who we are. They're physical. They can be mental. They can be emotional. They can be spiritual. But they help us define, I guess I would say, Victoria, in a way of what is or isn't our responsibility, or what is or isn't our job. And in a sense, I look at it as they kind of help us understand where we end and someone else begins. So, And I think that one of the things that's really important, and I've reflected on this a lot, I'm reading a great book right now on boundaries. I'll just give a shout out to it. It's Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. It's called Boundaries. Really, really good book. But, you know, one of the things that they talk about, and I really believe this, we've shared this as well too, but, you know, regardless of what we've been through in our journey that's brought us to where we are today as adults, you know, some of us have had crappy childhoods. But the bottom line is, as adults, we're responsible for our attitudes, for our behaviors, for our feelings. And again, that has a really strong correlation back to transactional analysis or ego states, which we've talked about. So
yeah.
I want to just kind of paint a picture, and a friend of mine has kind of explained this to me in terms of the way that she thinks about boundaries. And if you notice some of the visuals that you put up, Victoria, you know, you put up kind of gates and fences. And, you know, people with healthy boundaries have kind of an internal gate that lets the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. And people with unhealthy boundaries sometimes don't have any gate that opens, or maybe it opens, but it only lets bad stuff in, and the good stuff can't come in. And the good stuff goes out, and the bad stuff stays in. So there's lots of different ways of looking at this, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. I also have another visual up there that might, if people aren't resonating, you know, to gate, which is one way to look at it. There's also another visual that I have up there. So people take a look at the slideshow that I put up so you can get a sense of what we're talking about here in terms of what boundaries are. And boundaries aren't obviously physical things, but they are ways in which we behave, handle ourselves, and indicate and communicate to others how we want to be treated and pretty much where we leave off and where the other person starts in terms of responsibility, actions, et cetera, right, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one of the first things I want to talk about this morning, and it's kind of a funny starting point, I think, is, you know, the importance of the word no. And I came out of the hospitality industry. I spent many, many years in different working in different restaurant concepts. And, you know, I always, you know, would reflect on with people and say, you know, let's not say no. The answer is yes. What's your question? I remember that being the mantra in almost every company that I worked for or worked with as a client. You know, the answer is no, or the answer is yes. What's your question? So in a sense, we were telling people that it was never okay to say no. And, you know, if you think about this, Victoria, how many times have you heard, you know, parents complaining about that, the terrible twos? You know, that toddler that's 2 or 3 years old, you know, and all they do is say, no, 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 I'm not doing this. And it just, parents go off the deep end, you know. It's like, you know, you don't say no, that's a bad word. And it's interesting because I think as from what I'm reading, and certainly this is more in your area as a PhD psychologist, Victoria, but, you know, what I'm kind of ascertaining from this is, you know, it starts as children in terms of our development of boundaries, and no is an important word to learn, and no is an important word for parents to allow their children to say. But here's the thing. You know, if I have a 2-year-old and I say to my 2-year-old, honey, go pick up your toys, or, you know, a 3- or 4-year-old, honey, go pick up your toys before dinner, and the child says no, you know, I can choose to flip out, you know, you'll do what I say, I'm the parent, you know, blah, 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 which is how some respond. Or you kneel down to the child and say, okay, it's your choice. You know, if you choose not to pick up your toys, then you're not going to watch any TV after dinner or whatever they're, you know, whatever they're, or you're not going to go outside and play or what have you, but it's your choice. So you're letting the child know that no is not a bad word, but it's just, it comes with consequences. And so I will just say this in the work world, because, again, I hear people who are trying to establish healthy boundaries in the workplace say that it goes back to managing yourself in time. Sometimes you have to say no, but it's how you say it. It goes back to the ego states. If I move into a controlling or domineering parent, it's like, no, I'm not doing this, or, you know, a childish response, then that's not really setting a healthy boundary. But if I say to you, Victoria, you know, I'm going to choose not to do that today, and here's why. You know, I'm telling you no, but I'm doing it in a respectful way. I'm respecting your boundaries, but I'm also respecting my boundaries. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that's where the blend between, you know, ego state and the healthy use of no comes in. No is a very important word, and I teach clients all the time that, you know, unless you own no, unless you have comfort with the option of saying no, yes has no meaning. Because with all due respect to the hospitality mantra, industry mantra, if someone always says yes to you, you never know when secretly they don't want to do it, or the answer is really no, but they're just not telling you the truth. So in healthy, authentic functioning and communication, no has to be an option in order for yes to have any meaning.
Well, and you're absolutely right, and what, you know, what I've read and heard from many people, and it's true, if you think about yourself, you know, I've been negligent in saying no throughout a lot of my life, and I'm talking about, you know, my professional life, because, you know, you fear that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings if you say no, you're going to make them angry, you're going to lose them as a friend, you'll be punished, you know, you'll be ashamed, seen as selfish, you know, just a multitude of emotions that come with saying no. But I know for me, a lot of it stems back to, again, a very unhealthy childhood. I developed some very unhealthy boundary habits. But again, I just want to mention to the listeners, okay, so what? You know, we all come with baggage, but I think the point of today and a lot of what we talk about on this show is you can't change what happened to you as a kid. You can't change what happened, some of the bad things that have happened in your life, but you can own them and move forward. And I think with healthy boundaries, when you don't learn to say no, you know, I look at people who have become, you know, victims of domestic violence or just some horrific things because they've learned that no is a bad word, and so they can't even get themselves out of some of those really just absolutely horrendous situations.
Well, I want to put interject a thought here, and it is true also, we did four shows in a series back a couple of months ago on gender. Gender, as you kind of implicitly note there in your example, is a really important factor. Women have been very heavily socialized to be pleasant and not to say no. So I won't go into all that, but there's tons of literature on it, tons of psychodynamic information about it. But the fact of the matter is, as a woman, this is an especially important topic for you because
yeah.
it smacks against all of your gender enculturation. And in fact, it is true that there is a double standard. It's true. So when a man says no, he may be seen as a strong leader. When a woman says no, it's not exactly the same projection. So
right.
I want you folks to understand out there that we do understand all of this, but yet still even, there's a whole body of literature called assertiveness training, and it was huge back in the 70s or whenever it was that we were all teaching that. But it doesn't, it's still important today. All of that literature is still important today. There's a difference between being aggressive, being passive aggressive, being passive, and being assertive. And we'll talk a little bit about that next show as we get into self-parenting, but it's very, very important that you understand the differences and that you're able to practice healthy assertion, not passive aggressiveness, passivity, or aggression. So
right,
put that
right,
in
right.
There. Yeah.
Right. So the last thing I just want to say about no, and then I want to move on to another point, but no does come with consequences. So, you know, the thing I want to iterate is, again, it's healthy to say no, but again, it goes back to ego states. Think about how you say it, how you're delivering it. Deliver it as an adult. If you deliver it from, you know, just a normal adult ego state, you shouldn't hopefully get a reaction that's childlike, rebellious teen, rebellious child, but you own that. You really do. No is a good word, but it's how you deliver it, how you package it, how you say it. So another idea that gets in the way of boundaries, I think, sometimes is enabling. It's one of my favorite topics. Enabling is really, it's a person that really, again, has unhealthy boundaries. And I think about this, it happens in the workplace. You know, a team is working on a project, and one of your team members is just kind of goofing off or sloughing off, and, you know, instead of having a direct conversation and addressing it because of you protecting your boundaries, how many of us just like, okay, yeah, we'll pick up the slack for Joe, you know, whatever, he's just, you know, he's not pulling his weight, but we got to get the project done on time, so we'll pick up. That's enabling, and that is very unhealthy, and, you know, sometimes parents do the same thing. You know, a child goes to college, incurs a lot of debt because maybe they chose not to work when they were a teen in high school or what have you, and now they've got $100,000 in debt, and they go back to mom and dad and live because they don't feel like getting a job in their chosen profession. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and I'm sure you've seen examples of that as well, Victoria, in your work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the sad part about enabling is that we don't often acknowledge our part in it, and then later we become resentful for the behavior that we've helped to shape.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a bad scene for all involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, enabling, I've never seen enabling lead to anything positive or constructive. And I think I've seen some people, again, who enable and then, to use a term that you just mentioned, become very passive aggressive about it. And it's like, well, you made the choice to enable. You know, nobody twisted your arm. But I think that's huge. I think for me that
right.
the two big opportunities that we have so far, I think, for setting healthy boundaries are the importance of the word no and how to use that appropriately, but also to stop, to cease enabling in all aspects of our life, whether it's at work, in our personal life. As I mentioned at the beginning, boundaries aren't just, you know, they're important at work, but it also happens, you know, in our home life, in our emotional, our spiritual states. It really transcends all of us as persons.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And what we're talking about here is, you know, this show is about, you know, work and professional settings, but honestly, we're talking about relationships in the broad brushstroke here, because any time any of what we're talking about is practiced in any relationship that isn't, you know, that is not a healthy process, it's not going to lead anywhere good. It doesn't matter whether it's with your partner, your work, you know, colleagues, your neighbors, anybody, your family members. Unhealthy dynamics just don't work. And if you don't deal with something, it's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger.
Right, right. And again, we can't, you know, we can't change someone's boundaries for them. You know, I may have friends who have very unhealthy boundaries, and, you know, I can sit down and talk with them about it or what have you, but what I own is making sure that their unhealthy boundary doesn't invade my healthy boundary, you know, and just realizing that it's okay for me to stand up for myself, and it's okay for me to protect, you know, what's important to me, as long as my boundaries are healthy. Because there are people who are what Smith and Townsend refer to, or Cloud and Townsend, excuse me, refer to as unhealthy boundary setters. And, you know, I'm going to go through these one by one. There's four, and I think we probably all can relate to people that fall in these categories. The first one is what they refer to as compliance, and these are people that say yes to the bad stuff. Again, if you think about that gate, these are people that they let the bad stuff in, not necessarily the good stuff. And the first thing that comes to mind, and I mentioned it earlier, sadly, are people who are, you know, just victims. People who are, you know, could be victims of, again, domestic violence. They could be victims of, you know, bad things that happened in childhood, but they have a really hard time, again, saying yes to the bad stuff, or saying no to the bad stuff, I should say. They let the bad stuff in, and it's like, wow, that's tough. I don't, and again, I'm sure you've seen that in your work.
And this would be this would correlate to passive.
Yeah.
Passive behavior. If you're saying, you know, yes all the time, and again, understand that if you're saying yes to the bad stuff, you're saying yes to everything. You really have no boundaries. You have no edges. People really don't understand what the edge for you is between an affirmative and a negative, because you don't have one. There's just yes all the time. And that was sort of the mantra for the hospitality industry, right?
Well, yes, in a bad way, in a kind of a passive
way. Well, that's what I mean.
The next one, which is again equally as bad, I think, are what they term as the avoidance. These are people that say no to the good stuff, and this is one I think that I can relate to. And I put my word that comes to mind there is, you know, martyr. And I remember working in an organization where one of the C-level people pulled me aside at one point in time, because I didn't even realize I was doing this. But any time this individual tried to compliment me, I would just deflect it. I mean, I wouldn't let a compliment in. I wouldn't let positive, constructive, or positive feedback, I should say, in. The constructive and the critical all day long, you know, I would absorb that, but nothing positive. And finally, and I'm so grateful that they did this, they pulled me aside and pointed that out, because that was impacting their boundaries. You know, their boundaries were such that, hey, I want to give genuine, you know, praise and constructive feedback when due, and I want people to accept it. And the fact that I wasn't, good for them for standing up and speaking out to me and just saying, hey, look, and calling me on it. And that was a huge awakening for me. It might sound silly and ridiculous, but again, because of my baggage that I was bringing in, I was never really very good at accepting that. And again, I would put the word martyr and maybe a little bit of victim there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is very interesting stuff, because, again, you know, we're going to have some home play for you at the end of the show, so that, you know, you can begin to leverage what it is that we're talking about here. This is very important material, and it's very important for you to understand yourself today and historically, to understand what kinds of patterns you have, because you do have them. Everyone has them, and it's a matter of understanding what they are and improving them, and as we'll talk about next show, and parenting yourself better.
And so, you know, the next one very quickly would be what they deem, or what they call, controllers, and these are people that don't respect others' boundaries. And I think, you know, for me, without sharing, you know, lots of examples, I think this has been a huge opportunity for me just in the last year to really stand up to people that, you know, are not respecting my boundaries or others. And again, try to do it in a respectful way. Sometimes that doesn't always happen, but, you know, you really do have to. Otherwise, you just become a doormat when you allow people, again, to bring the bad stuff in and drop it at your doorstep and then they run away. Again, I'm sure you've seen some examples of that as well with your life's experiences, Victoria.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and again, in this category, we would, you know, we're the first one, the compliance, would have sort of a victim passive, template. The avoidance would have a passive martyr kind of look. The controllers would have a sort of aggressive perpetrator kind of look, actually. So if we're looking at patterns and we're looking at what we would call these and what kind of characterizations, we would look to see if we're familiar with this pattern. Look in terms of these words in your life to see, if any of this stuff, pops up for you, because it's part of life sometimes, unfortunately. And then non-responsives, what about them, Mary? That's the fourth category.
Yeah, these are people that, you know, as they couch it, they don't hear the needs of others. And a word that comes to mind here are people that are kind of narcissistic. Again, they're really focused. It's all about themselves. They're focused on themselves, but they really don't hear the needs of other people or, again, respect their boundaries because it's kind of all about themselves. And, well, we could do a whole show on narcissism, but at any rate,
that's a juicy topic, and we may, because it's a very... It's a very interesting topic. There's some interesting gender. I'm just going to, since, that's one of my specializations, I'm going to go ahead and just interject as a sort of gender comment here. And if you're looking at these four categories, if we would see what would be most prevalent in for women, it would be the first two. And if we would see what would be more prevalent for men, it would be the second two, to be quite honest. I believe if we did a psychological study, we'd come up with, a predominance of compliant and avoidant in the female category more so, and controller and non-responsives in the male. And these are just some of the control dramas, the control dramas that people use, and that we use, honestly, because we've been, enculturated that way. It's social conditioning. Has taught us that this is how you behave if you're a good boy or a good girl or whatever it is, or a strong boy or a compliant girl or whatever it should be, according to how the culture wants to control the genders, basically. So this is kind of important to understand, that when you are in one of these categories, you're probably needing to take a look at yourself, just like when that person mentioned that to you, you took a look at yourself, Mary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you need that. But again, it's being open. You don't have to accept, internalize someone's constructive feedback or criticism of you, but it does cause, I think you should always evaluate it and just accept whether or not, this is valuable, this is important, I agree with their assessment, I'm gonna do something about that, which is what I tried or chose to do. But if someone is just being overly critical because, again, they've got lousy boundaries and they're trying to take advantage of you because they know you have lousy boundaries, that's where you may have to stand up and say, I appreciate your opinion, but I'm going to choose to look at this differently. And, again, it there's such a strong correlation between this and, again, our shows on ego states, which we've said now three or four times. But to me, it's just, I'm surprised that in the subject of boundaries, people aren't talking more about ego states. I know you and I have. But
well,
to me, there's just such a strong correlation, between...
Well, there is, and people
Just
don't understand, I think, that body of theory and how important it is. So you're starting to segue into our next piece of the topic, which is how do we
Here
deal
we go.
With these types of people? Yeah. So you're going to find all kind of, there's all sorts of people who are going to deal with boundaries all sorts of different ways, given who they are and what the need of the moment is and where they come from in terms of their history. And so how do we deal with these types of people, Mary? What do we do? How would we best deal with a controller or a non-responsive or even a compliant or an avoidant?
Well, I think, for me, again, I think when I have come across, and particularly the ones that have been more difficult for me, are the controllers and the non-responsives. And I have, again, I've kind of always been wired this way, but probably I wouldn't say that I've always had the best conversations. I probably, again, went into an unhealthy ego state. But I think for me, the best way to deal with these types of people is, again, in a healthy, respectful way, you know, confront whatever the behavior is that, you know, if they're trying to, again, do something that's detrimental to your boundaries, you know, or rock your world a little bit, you don't have to let it in. You've got a gate. And that gate swings both ways. And again, we don't have to be male, female, regardless. We don't have to be compliance and avoidance and say yes to the bad stuff and no to the good stuff. We don't have to do that. And I think that's the big awakening is really, for me, it's that simple. It's take control of your own boundaries. Take control of your emotions, your attitudes, your feelings, and try to respond in a way that's respectful. You know, respond to someone in a way that you would want them to respond to you. The golden rule, the platinum rule, what have you. That's kind of my quick solution.
Well, let me also say that it's kind of interesting that you mentioned the controllers and the non-responsives have always been your nemesis. And actually, they are, because they are outer-oriented. It's easy to identify these people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Compliance and avoidance, you're really your own worst enemy. It's not that the other person is exhibiting obvious noxious behavior, but you yourself are self-sabotaging.
Right, right.
Kudos to the person who actually saw through that from the outside and mentioned to you, gee, Mary, compliments just kind of roll off you. You don't seem to take them in.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, a sort of higher level observation and one that was sort of, I think, issued to you for your own better good. There's a
Absolutely.
Real big difference between compliant, avoidant, and controller non-responsive.
Mm-hmm.
A controller's in your face.
Mm-hmm.
That is noxious behavior coming from the outside of you. Again, these first two categories are self-sabotages and our own worst enemy, things we're doing in the inner
yeah.
realm.
Yeah.
Controller non-responsive is more obvious in the outer realm. So these are sort of dynamics that I want people to be aware of. You know, it's easier to identify these second two.
Yeah, yeah.
But it takes some self-awareness to be aware of the first two. And actually, I'll just go ahead and interject here. This is what we'd like you to do for your home play, kind
yeah.
of like everybody between now and next time, to just sort of take a look at your pattern. Take a look at, okay, well, these people are talking about some interesting stuff, but I don't, you know, let me see how this works in my life. Okay, let me notice this week at work, and we'll be with you in another couple of weeks here for the next show. So between now and the next time we talk to you over the airwaves here, maybe you can take a look at how it is that you're handling your boundaries. Are you a compliant, an avoidant, a controller, a non-responsive, or maybe just a healthy person who handles all this really well? If so, kudos to you. But many of us have a tendency to lean a little bit, especially under pressure or in uncomfortable situations, challenging situations, toward one of these four quadrants. And we just
Right.
like you to ramp up your awareness in terms of which one you tend to lean toward, because the show we do next time will help you a whole bunch if you know who you are.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, I know I've got some work to do on boundaries, so.
Well, you know, I mean, I think we do all the time because, again, you know, we just may not be used to dealing with a certain kind of person. Maybe we haven't met too many non-responsives in our life, and we've been hurt by most people we've been around, and so it's kind of odd, you know, to
right.
meet somebody like that or,
yeah.
you know, a controller, and it's sort of a shock. It's like you can almost not believe this person is aggressive and in your face, you know, about stuff, and you're going, gee, this is strange. What do I do now? So some of it may just be that we haven't met this kind of animal before and we're not quite used to it, or we're not used to looking inside to see whether or not we're overly compliant and maybe even avoidant. So anyway, your home play is take a look at yourself and look and see what patterns you have. We're going to be meeting with you on the what's our next date, Mary, for our next show?
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. Okay.
So that would be the
23rd. So we'll be out there with you on Chai Chat, and we hope you have some fun, like looking at boundaries, looking how people around you handle them. And we're going to teach you to really ramp it up in this department, right, Mary? So we'll see you
Absolutely.
In a couple of weeks, and we'll do part two. All right.
All right, everyone.
Deal.
Take care.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.